So thank you very much for coming here this evening. We are a little smaller crowd, but we're glad to see everyone who has come. And you know, salvation, the gospel message, just doesn't rely on the number of people. It is really, the gospel is about the Lord Jesus Christ and the only one who can save you from sin. We were at the Willows just a little while ago. The last song that we sang there was, the hymn writer was really thinking about death. That's not something we like to think about. In fact, I mentioned this already, but I was sitting with my granddaughter in Sunday school this afternoon, and as Tim was speaking, she looks up at me and she says, "You never died yet." And I said, "No." I said, "When am I going to die?" "I don't know, probably soon." And that's something that we don't like to think about. We don't like thinking about death. You know, if I make it to 80, that's less than 30 years. I've been married more than 30 years, and I don't know if I'll make it to 80. But it's something that we need to think about. Not to be morbid, but we need to be prepared. And so that's what this gospel meeting is about. It's not us showing off how much we know about the Bible. Really, this meeting, by its design, is prepared, or is really with the intent that you would understand that someday you will die, we will all die. And what I do with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to determine whether I end up in heaven or if I end up in hell. So my intention tonight is to tell how God saved me. I intended to do it last year, and I don't think I did here. I think I did in Sussex, and I may have done it in Rosebank, but I didn't do it here. So when Dale texted me, I said, "Yeah, I can do it." I said, on Wednesday night, the 19th of August, it'll be 38 years. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Before we open the Word of God, we will speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the Savior of sinners. We often sing that hymn, "Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me." And so tonight, we give thanks for the gospel message, and for every genuine believer here tonight, we are thankful that we have understood that Christ died for our sins. For those who are here who are not saved, we pray that they might listen to the gospel message and understand that it is for them. We pray that help would be given now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read first in Acts chapter 16. And so maybe you're thinking, what do you mean your testimony? What do you mean when you were saved? Saved is a word that we use for being rescued. But when it comes spiritually, we're talking about when a person understands that they are a sinner and that Christ died for me. Maybe you're here and you think like many other people, if I do the best that I can, if I go to church, or maybe the religion I was born in, that's all I need to take me to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. People can be sincere, they might believe everything that they've been taught, but if it does not line up with what the Bible says, then it is wrong. And so tonight, as I begin this meeting, I want to show you, relating to the Word of God, what it means to be saved. I can tell you tonight that I know I am going to heaven. Not because I went to the gospel hall all my life, because I did. I don't even remember starting. I would have been just an infant when my parents took me to the gospel hall in O'Leary. Not because I always went to Sunday school. Not because I was good, because I haven't always been good. But I know I'm going to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Christ died for my sins. And tonight you could know that. So Acts chapter 16, and I'm just going to pick out three parts of verses, or three verses that the Lord used to show me that night 38 years ago. This is a story. Maybe another night we'll speak in it. But there are two gospel preachers, and they end up in prison. And at midnight, in the middle of the night, there's an earthquake. And the jailer, the prison keeper, he thinks his prisoners are escaped. And he's about to take his life. And then he realizes that they're all there. And he says to the preachers, he had heard their message. He had heard what they were singing about. And he says, how can I be saved? And here is the answer. Acts chapter 16, verse number 31. This is what the preacher said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Back to the book just before, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I thought that night? Well, believe what? I've heard the gospel all my life. What can I believe that I haven't already heard? And this is the second verse that I thought of. John chapter 19, verse number 30. Now here again, we're breaking into a story. This is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has been nailed to the cross. He was there because the Jewish leaders, they wanted to get rid of him. But we also know from the Bible that when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, God was laying on his son the punishment for an entire world. So you might read the verse before and you say, well, he was saying that he finished the wine, the vinegar that was given to him. No, that is not what he was referring to. They had offered him a sponge filled with vinegar, and when he tasted it, he didn't drink. But that's not what he's talking about. When Jesus had received the vinegar, verse 30 of chapter 19, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, gave up his life. So what was finished? The Lord Jesus was talking about the work that he had been given to do by his Father. And that was to complete the transaction. That was to complete the work that he had been given to do that could take guilty sinners like you and me to heaven. So that's what that verse means. The last verse is in Isaiah, right in the middle of your Bible, Isaiah chapter 53, and verse number 5. Now, this is going to go give you a little more detail of what actually happened on the cross. This is one of the verses that we can go to, that we can know that the Lord Jesus died for sin. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. But he, that is the Lord Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, for our sins. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace was on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Like I've already said, I was raised in the gospel hall, to this building, not to this building, when we used to be out in Springfield West, a little gospel hall there. I went there all my life. I knew the gospel from my youngest. And in fact, one of our pastimes at my grandmother's place, David would be there, one of our favorite pastimes was to play meeting. And we'd play meeting. Sometimes we'd pretend to preach. Sometimes we'd do all sorts of things. We'd do what we watch our parents do. But that did not make me right with God. You know, we don't have to watch our children or our grandchildren. We don't have to watch them very long. And we realize that there's something terribly wrong on the inside. You might think, that's a strong statement. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. What do I mean? Is there something wrong with them? No, not really anything wrong with them. But as you and I are born, everything might be fine physically. We do get age, and we do age. But there is something wrong on the inside. The Bible tells us that you and I are plagued with the problem of sin. That is, you and I are not right with God. And that goes right back. You know what? I can blame my parents, I suppose. And they would blame their parents. It traces right back to the first part of the Bible, where the first two people on earth, they brought sin into the world. And that has been passed on year or generation after generation after generation. I had made the remark at the Willows, Angela's aunt posted a couple of years ago, a great uncle. It'd be a great uncle of both of ours. And he died in World War I in France. And I was thinking of it a couple of weeks ago when I was over there, and I was thinking I would have liked to have taken the time. It was about 100 miles away. It had been interesting to see if his marker was there. The reason I say that, George Wilkinson looked very much like my father. And you can see the resemblance, and it has passed on. And I look like my father. And that's part of genes that have been passed along. But there is something else that has been passed on. My grandkids may not look like me. It might be good for them if they don't. But my grandchildren have something else that I have passed on to them. And it's something that has marked humanity right from its beginning. You and I are sinners. There is something wrong on the inside. And the Lord Jesus said, he said to some religious people, he said, you're all concerned about being defiled from what's outside. He said, defilement comes from within. Things aren't going right, or maybe you hit your hand and all of a sudden, and you got to clamp your mouth because the words want to come out. Where does that come from? It's marks of a human heart that is wrong, of sin just coming from within. And that is what's wrong. That's what I was born with. I was born a sinner. And so you and I have that condition. The Bible says, for all have sinned. We have all done wrong. And in fact, the Bible goes even further. It says, there's none that does good. Wow, I thought I did some good things. Well, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says that even our good deeds, they are stained with sin. Let me give you, I know I've used this a lot, but let me give you an example. When we were married 32 years ago, there was a couple and they gave us a pure white tablecloth. You know what? If we've used it, I think we used it once. And I don't even remember if we used it. But suppose we had company come. Suppose Tim and Rachel were coming for supper. And Wendy said, come in and help me set the table. And I come in from the shop. And my hands were filthy black. But I'm going to give Wendy a hand. what would happen? It would ruin the tablecloth. But I would say, I'm doing good. I'm helping my wife. But even the good that I do with dirty hands, it would totally ruin it. Now, I would never do that, if not on purpose. But you and I, because of sin, our works are stained with sin. And so that is the problem. That's how I was born. Born with the problem of sin. When I was young, my best friend and my uncle, David, he was saved. We were just young at that time. When I was 9 years old, I was sitting in a gospel meeting one night, and my uncle was preaching. And I walked away from that meeting and I said, I'm saved. Well, went on for a few more years. When I was 14, I was baptized. Now, I thought I was saved. I thought I was right. Maybe that you're here tonight, and maybe you think you are right with God. Maybe you think things are okay. Well, I thought they were. I remember when I was 5th, that was 14, I was baptized. When I was 15, I asked to come into assembly fellowship, join the church, if you want to put it that way. But one of the men asked me, he said, have you ever had any doubts? That is, have you ever thought, maybe I'm not saved, maybe I'm not ready? Now, I told you at the start, sometimes we need to face things that we don't want to face. When my granddaughter asked me, or said, I think you're going to die soon. Well, I don't want to face that. But I remember that summer as that question started to come, Daryl, are you sure you're ready? And I'll be honest, I did not want to face it. And I think maybe there's someone else here tonight, and you would just as soon not face that. When it comes to death, when it comes to my sin, when it comes to this salvation thing you're talking about, I am just not quite ready. That seems a little sobering. It is. It's serious. Salvation is a serious thing. When we look at the gospel, when we look at what is presented, it is the most serious thing that you will ever face. Maybe it's somewhere in the back of your mind and you're thinking, yes, I know I should face it. You know what? That summer, 1988, I did not want to face it. And those thoughts would come in and I'd try and push them back. And I thought I was saved. I thought I was ready. There were some things that took place. There were some gospel meetings in O'Leary that summer, just right across from the O'Leary Elementary School, right in the field. There was gospel meetings came that year. Albert Ramsey and Peter Orzak. During those meetings, a man from Rosebank Gospel Hall, he was going up to Price, Quebec, they were building a gospel hall. And he asked me and he asked David if we would go along with him to help them pour cement. I don't know why he asked two 15-year-old boys to go up and help, but away we went. And so there's some things that happened there. I was in the assembly at the time. And even though the meeting was in French, I remember sitting there on Sunday morning, and I remember thinking, Daryl, if you're really saved, even though the meeting's in French, you'd still get some enjoyment out of the meeting. And I thought, why not? Then I remember another. We were at Larry Biot's, another story. And then somebody had told the story of a lady who had been similar to what I was. She had been in the meeting for been in a gospel hall assembly for quite a number of years and found out that she was not saved. And when I heard that story, I remember thinking, Daryl, maybe that's you. You see, God was trying to get me to face something that I did not want to face. We were coming home that trip. Nobody else knew what was going on in my head, and Jerry come down through New Brunswick, and Jerry told how he got saved, and David told how he got saved, and it was my turn, and I told my story, and I remember thinking, yeah, it just doesn't seem right. Well, got home too late to go to gospel meeting that night. I think that was a Wednesday night. Thursday night, we went to meeting. But I remember the Friday night, August the 19th, 15 years old. As I sat down in the gospel meeting, I would have been right here near the front, luckily in the front row, but I remember thinking, Daryl, you need to figure this out. Are you saved or are you not saved? And tonight I would ask you the same question. If tonight you were to face God, and it was heaven or hell, and the question was asked, are you saved? Are you ready? What would you say? Well, in that gospel meeting, just as that meeting was coming to a close, I was thinking back of what had happened a few years before. As that meeting closed, I remember thinking, Daryl, there's nothing there about the Lord Jesus. And as that meeting closed, it just struck me, Daryl, you're not saved. Now, I didn't want to face that. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't want to face it either. But it's that simple and it is that real. It's heaven or it's hell. It's eternal joy with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for sinners. Or it's eternal punishment. That's what the Bible says. I don't get a great kick or a great feeling of power telling people, you need to be saved. Your sins are taking you to hell. This is what the Bible says. And that's why a meeting like this is so serious. Because really, it's that simple. The Bible says that the person who is saved, the person who has admitted their guilt, I am a sinner, but Christ died for me, that person will be in heaven. Well, what happened that night? Well, we drove home, walked through my parents' kitchen, got a glass of water, and I took a sip. I remember thinking, Daryl, there'll be none of that in hell. I went to my room, and I thought I could just open my Bible, and I'd look at some verse, and I'd be saved. And I started to look, and it just got darker, and it seemed to get blacker. And I even thought, I'll just leave it till tomorrow. Luke did that, and he got away with it. I was terrified to leave it. I said, no, I have to face this tonight. Now, Luke didn't do it intentionally. He fell asleep. But thankfully, he got saved the next day. It just seemed like everything was getting so dark. I knew the gospel. Like I said, I used to preach with my brothers and sisters, my uncle, and it was so dark. And I just remember there beside, on the side of my bed, I was thinking, oh God, how can I be saved? You know, I wish someone, you know what, it wouldn't even bother me if somebody cried that out loud. Oh God, how can I be saved? And those words, the answer came back. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I think, well, believe what? I've grew up with the gospel. What can I believe that I don't already know? And I thought of those, the words that we read, the words of the Lord Jesus, it is finished. You know, I've paid some big bills. Sometimes it's great. I remember there was a count, and finally the last payment was made. It's done. No doubt like this one. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, when he gave his life, he was stamping it finished. because of what he has done, because of his life given for the sinner. There's a verse that says, the just one for the unjust, the good for the bad. And that's what happened. I got thinking about it. I said, well, finish what? And I thought of the words we read. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. He was wounded. And I was looking at, he was wounded for my transgressions. It was my sins he was wounded for. He was bruised for my iniquities. Maybe you think that I'm skeptical. Well, it's good to be sure. And I thought, is that it? And I remember looking down. With his stripes, we are healed. And there about 10:30 at night, I understood that's what it is. The Lord Jesus, he died for me. Tonight as I step down, that is what I am resting on to take me to heaven. Not because I try and preach a little bit, not because I am good. The only reason I can stand here and tell you that I am going to heaven is because I am resting. I am resting on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. When he died for sin, he said it is finished. And based on what the Bible says, that is enough for me. And it can be enough for you tonight. Are you saved? Are you willing to face this? Remember, it's heaven or hell forever. What will you do tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ?